الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فالله خير حافظ وهو أرحم الراحمين. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: إن ربي على كل شيء حفيظ. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In the previous two sessions, we saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wali, He is the Mawla, He is the caretaker and the guardian. Second word, Allah ta'ala is Al-Wakil, He is the trustee, the disposer of all affairs. And there's a third word, which is Al-Hafiz, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector, He is the preserver. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the life of a believer, the wealth of a believer, the iman of a believer. Allah ta'ala protects and preserves the life and all the valuable things that a believer has. Allah is Al-Hafiz. And this is also closely related to another word, Nasir. Even though this word Al-Nasir is not there in the 99 names, but Nasir comes from Nusrat, and Nusrat means to help. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the helper. Allah is the protector of the believers and the helper of the believers. Allah sends His help and assistance and His protection and preservance to the believer. If you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many verses tells us this reality that when a person completely enters into Islam, into the deen of Islam, when the deen of Islam, deen of, you know, the Iman, it permeates into each and every aspect of our life, then Allah Ta'ala rewards that person by becoming His helper and by becoming His protector. If you look at the early zamana of the Sahaba Ikram, the early Islam, so the unbelievers used to think that Islam is very weak, the followers of Islam are very weak, and we would easily be able to overpower them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, the Ihsan, how Allah ta'ala sent His help and hifaza, His protection to the Sahaba Ikram, upon the Sahaba. Wazkuru is antum kalilun mustazifuna fil ard. Now remember when you were few in number. The Sahaba are asked to remember the conditions they were facing in Makkah Mukarramah, pre-Hijrah. They were oppressed. They were weak on this earth. Mustazifuna fil ard. Very zaif. Very weak and kanzor on this earth. Takhafuna an yatakhatafukumun nas. And they were fearful, and you were fearful that people would snatch you away. That the unbelievers would snatch you away. Fa'awa Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, fa'awakum, Allah gave you shelter. Allah ta'ala gave you a sanctuary in Medina Munawwara. Allah helped you by allowing you to make this migration. And wa'ayyadakum binasrihi. And Allah fortified you with His help, with His assistance. You had the divine support, divine help, divine protection over the unbelievers. وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah provided you with good things, with طَيِّبَات, with risk, with assets, with blessings of great value. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you will be grateful. So the purpose is to provide an opportunity for the Sahaba to show gratefulness as obedient servants of Allah. Gratefulness, it lies in obeying what Allah Ta'ala commands them to do. And then there's also a reminder here that when a person stops being grateful to Allah, then Allah takes back His protection and His help. Allah takes back His nusrat, His assistance, and His hifazah. Elsewhere in Quran, so this was the time of the Sahaba when they're very weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their weakness into their strength. Why? Because of the iman that they had. Allah in Quran says that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, that all those who believe, in tansurullah, if you help the deen of Allah, then yansurkum wa yusabbit aqdamakum, Allah will help you, will firmly establish your feet. And another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna, and this ayah is not only now for the Sahaba or for the Anbiya alayhi salam. If you look at Quran, Allah ta'ala has promised His hifazat, His protection and His help for whoever has complete kamil iman. Whoever has, who has completely, perfectly entered into iman, Allah ta'ala promises His hifazat for that person. This hifazat was there for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was there for the Sahaba ikram. And Allah Ta'ala has said that this is also there for the alladhina amanu, for me and you, for the believers. Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yakumul ashhad. That indeed we will help our messengers, and surely we will help the people of iman. And with taqeed, Allah is saying that surely we take upon ourselves this zimmedari, this responsibility to help the people of iman. Fil hayati dunya, in their worldly life, in their dunya, wa yawma yakumul ashhad, and in akhirah. So saying that Allah, He will help them as much and as certainly as He helped His messengers. Allah will protect them as much and as certainly as He protected His messengers, Sayyidina Rasulullah. And all of us are familiar with the seerah of the Prophet, the help, the protection at the time of Badr, the help, the protection at the time of the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama. It was a miraculous help from Allah and the protection of Allah. And in this ayah, Allah, in the same way, the believers will be protected, will be helped by Allah in their worldly lives. So Hafiz and Nasir, Allah will help them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them, will preserve them. Then, another ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another addition to this principle. Summa nunajji rusulana, and then we will give najat, we will give salvation to our messengers. So the first part is about the messengers will give najat, or will give them salvation to our messengers. Wallazina amanu. And just like that, we will grant najat to the believers. We'll give protection, salvation to those people who have true iman. And then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا. That we will free them and we will take them out of their difficult situation. We will give them protection. And we, Allah saying, this is our haq. This is haq upon us. This is our right. Now we speak about hukukullah, Allah's right over us. We speak about hukukul ibad, others' right over us. This is haqqan alayna, haqq on Allah Ta'ala to give najat, salvation to the believers. So if you just look at these two ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is promising His special help and His special hifaza, His protection, His najat, salvation for the true mu'mini. This is a promise that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is making in the Quran. And now there are only two possibilities. That either Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is nauzubillah stopped being Allah Ta'ala and broken His promise. That will not be possible. That Allah is not true to His kalam. Or the other possibility is that the true reality, the reality of Iman, we have stopped being such believers who would get this hifaza, who would get this protection and help from Allah. This promised help and hifaza that Allah is offering in the Quran. Now, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the believers? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defend and protect the believers? So what does Quran say? In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gives us a principle that when you are scared about your life, you don't know who your enemy is. We don't know who our enemy is. Sometimes a person, apparently outwardly, they might be smiling, but in that appearance of friendship, they might be plotting, planning against you. They might want to harm you. So we don't know, sometimes in the face of insan, there's shaitan. And we are thinking something and they're actually plotting something else. So we don't know who our enemies are. Allah says in Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِعَدَائِكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who your enemies are. They may be living far away, but Allah knows who your enemy, who's the enemy agent. And then these enemies, they plotted and they planned against the Prophet also. And Allah mentions them, and these unbelievers, they strategized against you that we will imprison you, or yaktuluka, that we will martyr you, or yukhrijuka, that they will place you in exile. وَيَمْكُرُونَ, they were devising their strategies against you. وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ, and Allah also devised His strategy. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners. Any enemy might be making their own plans, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not allow those plans to succeed. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا, Allah will never ever, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ, Allah will never ever give the disbelievers a way to overcome the believers. We can understand this from an example. If there is a hen, she stands before a cat to defend its chick. The mother, she stands before to defend her child. That same andaz is the same kafiyat here in these words of, in these ayat of the Quran, that O mu'mineen, O people of Iman, Allah will not allow your enemies an opportunity to reach you. Allah will help you. Allah will deal with them. Allah will deal with them. They will not be able to touch you. Lil kafirin ala al mu'minina sabila. They will have no way to even get to you. Can you look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over again and again? Allah is telling the believers that this is my promise. Allah is telling us to believe in Him, to rely upon Him, to trust Him. That Allah will be our guardian. Allah will be our guardian. Allah will be our protector. Then if you look at the Ghazwa-e Khandaq, this was, you can think about, you know, this was like the World War II at that time. You had the Allies versus the Soviets, right? So you had this Ghazwa where you had all the multitude of tribes that from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah, around 30,000 unbelievers, enemies, they got together. It was an allied force. This is called Jang-e Ahzab, the War of Ahzab, where there were several tribes who gathered together. And they were thinking that now, finally, we will be able to finish this Muslim thing forever. And the Muslims at that time were very few in number, about 3,000 or so. And the unbelievers, they came, and the enemies, they wanted to wipe away the Muslims. So the Muslims, the Sahaba, They built a trench around Madina Tayyiba. And they came, and the 1 month they did muhasara. They surrounded Madina Tayyiba. They numerically, they were very strong. Militarily, very strong. Economically, very strong. Financially, very strong. And on the other hand, the side of the Muslims, they were very few in number. They couldn't numerically few, militarily weak, economically weak, and financially weak. But what happened after this 1 month, one month of muhasara, when they surrounded, Allah helped the believers because of their iman. They were spiritually strong. In iman, they were strong. And as a result, there were some internal disputes that they had. The unbelievers started having internal disputes within each other. And then there came a wind from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which completely overturned their tents. And Allah ta'ala says about this in the Quran, subhanallah, such beautiful words. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that Allah ta'ala returned those who disbelieved. بِغَيْزِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا, Allah returned those who disbelieved in their own rage. They went back with their anger, with their rage, being upset. لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا, they did not get anything. Like sometimes a boy, he jokes around with his friend and gives the thumb. He gestures with their thumb, right? That you can't get anything from me. Right? Na 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 boo boo. So that is what Allah is saying. Lan yanalu khaira. That is the kafiyat of these words. That they were not able to get anything. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and hifaza and help for the believers. That they came with such great ambitions and Allah did not get anything from Allah. Now imagine when Allah ta'ala is giving us so much consolation, that the unbelief, the enemies will never be able to touch you, that they will not be able to come and harm you, and they will have to first pass me first. They'll have to deal with me first, then they can come to you. وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا, they have no way to get to you. What's the reason? What's the goal here? What's the maqsad? The maqsad is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us this promise that just become people of true iman. Rest, leave it to Allah ta'ala. Allah will become your hafiz. Allah will be, if Allahu khayrun hafiza. He is the best of protectors and the best of preservers. No one will be able to do anything to you. No one will be able to provide any harm to you. So when Allah ta'ala is making such promises of his hifazat and his help in the Quran, so the believers, they don't need to be worried about, they don't need to be agitated, they don't need to be distressed or worried. Why should we be worried? That's why Allah is saying in Quran, wala tahinu, wala tahzanu, that don't be lazy, and wala tahzanu, don't be sad. Don't be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, that you will indeed be a'la, you will indeed be the successful ones. You will indeed be those who are higher up. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, only if you are true believers. So this promise is attached, it's conditional, that if we can become true believers, أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, then you will always be dominating over any other group. Allah has promised this in the Quran. Allah will give you dominance, will give you ghalba, help and hifaza. You don't look at the numerical strength. Don't look at their military strength. Don't look at their financial and economic strength. Don't look at this taqat. Bring to me the taqat of iman. Bring to me the power, the strength of iman, and then Allah will give you victory. And that is what the sahaba had. That they had the iman yakin in their heart. That's why any battlefield, when they used to come on the field, Allah would give them victory. And Quran is testifying to this. Quran over and over again is testifying to this. Kam min fiyatin qalila, ghalabat fiyatin kasira, bi-iznillah. That how many times have we seen that a small group of people can dominate, can be victorious over a big group of people, bi-iznillah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to understand this in our own language, in our own language, colloquially, Allah is saying that how many times we have used small birds. Small birds have been used to destroy big animals. Then there is another story that is mentioned in the Quran about the Jews of Medina Munawwara who were living at the time of the Prophet ﷺ in these fortresses, big, huge, strong fortresses and castles. And they thought that they're very difficult to conquer these fortresses. And it was very difficult. And that was their khayal and their guman, that we are living in these fortified cities. No one will be able to come here and touch us. The Jews had this 1 meter thick wall that was made out of stone. And they felt that no one can harm us in these forts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came. And the Jews would think that our forts would be an obstacle for them. So when Allah Ta'ala's help came, the Jews were thinking at that time that our forts would be an obstacle for the Muslims, for the Sahaba, that these forts will protect us. And the Muslims were also thinking the same thing. They were also thinking that we may not be able to overpower them in their forts. So Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَمْ يَهْتَسِبُوا. But the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came upon them from where they had not even expected. Allahu Akbar. Look at the words that Allah is using in the Quran. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. And then we cast this terror into their heart. We cast this robe, this terror into the heart of the Jews. And then they started doing mashwara with each other. And they thought that wherever the Muslims, the Sahaba go, they're victorious. And if they come to us, they will not spare us. So it's better that we gather our wealth, our children, our family, our resources, and prepare to leave, march away from here. So at least we can take away our wealth with us. So they gathered their wealth and their family and began moving out with themselves. And when the believers, the Sahaba, they found out that they were moving out, they reached there and they helped them to evacuate. And Allah says in Quran, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They destroyed their own homes by their own hands and the hands of the believers. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Oh, so take ibrat, O people of vision, O people of iman. Take ibrat, take some nasiha, take some counsel from this story. You thought that they were impenetrable. But when the hifazat of Allah comes, the protection of Allah comes, when the help of Allah comes, I can hand over such impenetrable fortresses to you without a fight. So nothing can match the power of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real secret. That if a person leads such an imani life, then the unseen protection from Allah and the help comes to us. And when it comes to us, then you're guaranteed success. That is what the Sahaba Ikram did. They led such a life of complete deen that they became mustahiq, recipients of this hifazat and protection of Allah. That's why wherever they went, Allah gave them victory, success, Allah gave them izzat and honor. Numbers did not matter for them. Numbers did not matter. They were very few in numbers, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory and izzah. And same thing, if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah made the Prophet ﷺ return back to Makkah Mukarramah. And the Prophet ﷺ returned back even though he was persecuted and he was forced to leave. But because of this ni'mat of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the Muslims, all of them back. And when the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered on the conquest of Makkah, Alhamdulillahi wahda nasara abda وحزم الأحزاب وحده. He was praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So this name of Allah Ta'ala Al-Hafiz, this is also giving us that same message. That if we strengthen our iman, our relationship with Allah, then Allah is our Nasir and Allah is our Hafiz. We don't need to be fearful of anyone, be fearful of our enemies, of anyone else. A Muslim does not fear anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come into the protection of Allah and they have yakin on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we should try to increase this nur of iman in our hearts through as many good deeds as we can. Through the remembrance of Allah, adorning ourselves with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, filling our hearts with this nur of iman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do our hifaza. And when Allah will do our hifaza, when Allah will help us, then we will always reach the shore. Look in Quran, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, they went in front of Fir'aun. And Fir'aun was very strong, very powerful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to go, Izhab ila Fir'aun innahu tagha. And at that time, Musa alayhi salam, he felt some fear. So Allah said, Fazhaba la takhafa. Go, both of you should go. Don't fear. Innani ma'akum. I'm with both of you. I'm with both of you and I'm going to listen to what you're saying and I'm going to see what you're doing. So don't worry, I'm with you. There's no need to be worried. That wherever you go, I will give you success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave success to Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam. Same thing in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he was migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah, the whole Makkah Mukarramah was searching for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ was inside that cave. And in Rivayat, it's mentioned that there's a spider which built its web at the mouth of that cave. Now the web of a spider is so weak. Allah says in Quran himself, Inna awhana al-buyuta labayt al-ankabut, that one of the weakest of houses or home, one of the weakest of homes is the web of this spider. So this spider made this web at the mouth of that cave. And the people, the Quraysh Makkah, they came at the mouth, but they were not able to enter. And there is a lesson here for us. That you thought that this spider's web is so weak. When Allah wants to do hifaza, Allah can use the weakest of the weak and make that a source of your hifaza. It became like an impenetrable fortress, like a wall, which no one could come inside. So when Allah gives his hifaza, then a person, a believer, they don't need to be worried. They don't need to fear anyone. So this is one lesson that we have to take from this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised his help for us if we turn to him with the true iman. Now, getting hifaza for our life is only one aspect of this protection. We also need hifazat and protection in several other aspects of our life. And perhaps the most important thing that we need hifazat is our iman. More than our life, more than our wealth, more than our izzah, more than all of that, the greatest blessing that we have is this iman. And then we also have in Quran, Allah Ta'ala gives us a way how we can get this hifazat in our iman. And in the Quran, you will see different stories where Allah Ta'ala is giving hifazat against the enemies. Allah becomes the protector of their wealth. Allah becomes the protector of their izzah. And then Allah also protects the iman of the believers. And especially this is relevant for all of us because in the time that we are living in, we more than anyone else need this protection, this hifazat for our iman. Because we are living in this time, which is Qurb-e-Qiyamah, and in this Qurb-e-Qiyamah, there are going to be very different fitnas. There will be so many fitnas that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person will rise up in the morning with iman in his heart, and then he will go at night to his bed without this iman. So we are living in that zamana. This is the fitna, the dajjal, the precursor of the dajjal. And this was such a big fitna, the fitna of the dajjal, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, ever since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, till the Yawm al-Qiyamah, there'll be no greater fitna than the fitna of Dajjal. The Sahaba Ikram, they say that we used to fear for our Iman. We used to fear this fitna of Dajjal so much that if any one of us used to go to relieve themselves in the words, and then when we would come out, we would be fearful, we would be scared that it has the Dajjal already come back? Is the Dajjal present? We would ask each other. We were so scared about the presence, about the coming of the Dajjal. So if the Sahaba Ikram were so fearful about the Dajjal living at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, now we should think we are so close to Qiyamah, how much we need to be wary and cautious and prepare ourselves against this fitna of the end of time. This will be such a fitna that people will leave their very iman. That people will come and they will be impressed by the power of Dajjal and by the things that Dajjal is able to do. And as a result of that, they will come and voluntarily leave their iman. They will be bereft and deprived of their iman. So how can a person then get hifazat in this time? How can a person protect their iman in these times that we are living in? For that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again has given us hidayah. Allah is al-Hafiz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given hidayah, how we can get this protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use this protection to protect our first and foremost, our very iman in these difficult times. And for that, Allah ta'ala has revealed a surah in the Quran, which is Suratul Kahf. And in Surah Kahf, Allah ta'ala gives a story of the people of Kahf, who were the Ashab-e Kahf, were also living in a time, in a society where the environment was not conducive to their iman. There was a tyrant king, a non-believer, unbeliever, and he would prosecute and persecute those people who had iman. He would do zulm upon them. So these Ashab-e Kahf, the young men, they wanted to protect their iman, so they sought a refuge inside a cave. And inside that cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Kahf, and Allah Ta'ala protected, preserved their iman, placed them when Allah Ta'ala gave them sleep, and they slept for about 300 years. And then when they woke up, by that time, that king, that tyrant, he had died, and there was a new king who was a believer. And then when the believer, the new king, when he met the people of Kahf, he was very happy to meet them. He honored them. He gave izzat to them. And then finally, when the people of Kahf, they passed away, he erected some kind of a tablet in order to commemorate, some kind of a memorial as a sign of respect. So this story that we have in the Quran is telling us, teaching us a lesson that believers, Allah Ta'ala is saying that if you want to protect your iman in testing and difficult times, if you want to save yourself from the fitnas of the society, from the fitnas or the precursors of the Dajjal, then you also have to do amal on the sunnah of the people of Kahf. You will also have to go take a sanctuary inside a cave. Kahf means a cave. And just like the people of Kahf went inside the cave and I preserved and protected their iman, that same sunnah also applies today. That if a person wants to protect their iman, if they feel that we're living in difficult times, I want to protect my iman, then we also have to go take sanctuary inside a Kahf, inside a cave, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also protect our iman. But the question here is that what is the cave for us? For the people of Kahf, Ashab-e Kahf, they went outside in the jungle and took a sanctuary inside that cave. For us also, we have to take sanctuary inside a Kahf, but our Kahf are different. In this zamana, if we want to save our iman, if we fear the society, if we fear that people will make us do fisk and fujur, we want to safeguard, protect our iman, we have to attach ourselves with some kahf. And there are five kahf, five caves that we have today. In this zamana, there are five kahf. This is something that we should remember. Number one is the madaris. The first kif, the first kahf, are those institutions of learning where a person gets Islamic education. They get dini education. They get knowledge of the Quran, Sunnah, Sharia. That knowledge is given to them. Ilm-e-deen is given to them. So this can be physical madrasas. This can be online institutions. So whenever a person attaches himself to a learning, Islamic learning institute, to a madrasa, then this madrasa will be the kahf for that person. It will protect the iman of that person. So many people, whoever attaches themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect that person's iman. Allah will save them from the fitnas and the fasad that's happening in the society. And these institutions of Islamic learning, they will always remain till the very end. No one can close these institutions. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken this responsibility that Allah will do hifazat of his deen. Allah is the hafiz of his deen. Even before us, me and you, Allah is doing hifazat of his deen. And Allah says in Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. That we have revealed this Quran and we have taken this responsibility upon ourselves to protect this Quran. So the protection of Quran will be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, who are the protectors of Quran? The Qari is the protector of the huruf of Quran, the alfaz of Quran. The Hafiz is the protector of the wordings of Quran. Alim is the protector of the meanings of Quran. The Mashaykh, they are the protectors of the ma'arif, the deep feelings of Quran. This is a whole jamaat of people who are the protectors of Quran. And when Allah is saying that Allah will protect the Quran, this means very clearly that the Qari will be protected by Allah, the Hafiz will be protected by Allah, the Alim will be protected by Allah, the Mashaykh will be protected by Allah. And all these people, where will they be protected? They will be protected in these madaris, in these institutions of Islamic learning. So that is why whoever attaches themselves to these institutions of dini learning, online or on-site, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect their iman. Allah will be al-hafiz. This is going to preserve their iman. Second kahf is attaching ourselves to those who are ahlullah, the people of Allah. Those who are the siddiqeen, sadiqeen. Putting ourselves in their company, attaching ourselves with them. Whoever attaches or associates themselves with some person of Allah, with the Siddiqeen, Salihin, with the pious and the righteous, then this association or this taluk will also be a means of protecting that person's iman. This is also like a kahf. It's also like a cave. Allah says in Quran that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah. That all people of iman have taqwa. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ And then put yourself in the company of those who are the sadiqin, those who are truer than you in the relationship with Allah. This is the mashayikh, the awliya, the ahlullah, the friends of Allah. Put yourself in their company, attach yourself with them. This attachment, this taluk will also be able to safeguard your iman. And what's the proof for this? The proof is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever associates themselves with such people, the ahlullah, whoever sits in their company, adopts the company of the pious, then la yashka jalisuhum. Such a person will never be shaki. Shaki refers to that individual who will be deprived of iman when he dies. So the Prophet ﷺ, in other words, is saying that this person, whoever associates, keeps the company of the righteous and the pious, he will not be shaki, means that this person will die in a state of iman. Yani he will be able to leave this world protecting his iman, preserving and safeguarding his iman. So this is the second kahf. That the people of Allah who teach the zikr of Allah, who teach the remembrance of Allah, who teach Allah, this is a cave. Whoever associates themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect their iman. Third cave, third kahf is doing work of deen.
inviting other people to towards deen, da'wat or tabligh, right? Those people, whoever attaches themselves with inviting other people towards deen, whoever, and this can be done in any way, whoever does this in any way, they attach them, they're doing work of deen, they're inviting other people towards deen, they're in, trying to bring people towards iman, bring people towards Islam, they're trying to strengthen the iman of other people, they're doing work of the Anbiya alayhi salam, of inviting, counseling, guiding, bringing people inside iman, strengthening their iman. Whoever attaches himself with this work of deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the barakah of this work, Allah is going to protect that person's iman. Yani this is also another, a third kahf. That whenever a person's, when you have an individual whose gham, whose grief becomes his deen, who is thinking about deen, how this deen can go into the life of other people, how this deen can be revived in the hearts of other people, then because of the barakah of this grief that he has for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, the mihnat, the efforts that he is doing, this person will also be saved. This person will also be saved from the fitnas of Dajjal, will be saved from the fitnas of the society. His iman will be preserved. Just like the Ashabi Kahf, their iman was preserved. And the fourth kahf, there are five kahf. Fourth kahf is Quran. Quran is also a cave. What does this mean? Whoever associates themselves with the Quran Azimushan in any way, they are studying the Quran, reading the Quran, reflecting on the Quran, they are learning the Quran, memorizing the Quran, teaching the Quran, explaining the Quran, doing khidmat of the Quran. Whoever has a taluk with the Quran, this Quran is also going to be a kahf for them. Allah says in Quran that this Quran is a qiyama. It's going to preserve the iman of an individual. So whoever is engaged in this work of Quran, dars-e-Quran, tarjuma-e-Quran, tafsir-e-Quran, right? They have made this part of their life. They have made this part of their schedule. They have made this part of their tarteeb that we are going to have a strong taluk with the Quran. We're going to teach this Quran and this will be the taluk. This will be our tarteeb for the whole year, for the whole life. Then such a person, because of their taluk, their connection with their Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to preserve their iman. This is the barakat of Quran. Quran will save their iman, preserve their iman. They will be able to leave this world with this ni'mat of iman intact in their heart. And the fifth and the last kahf cave is Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, two cities. Whoever has been given the wasail and the resources, if they can reach Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, then the fitna of Dajjal will not be able to enter these two cities. And this is sabit, this is proof from Hadith Mubarakah. The Prophet ﷺ said that Dajjal will roam around the entire earth and his fitna will spread everywhere and people will start following him every corner of the world. But he, when he will try to enter Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, there will be angels who will block his way. Allah will do hifazat. Allah will do hifazat. Al-Hafiz will do hifazat of Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah. Sabit from Hadith. And that's why if a person is in place in these two cities, then they will be safe from the fitnas of Dajjal. These are barakat. These two cities are cities of blessings. The Prophet ﷺ was born in Makkah Mukarramah and the Prophet ﷺ is resting in Madinah Tayyibah. These were the two cities of the Prophet ﷺ. These are the two kahf. So whoever has been given enough risk that they can reach these two cities, if they can reach there, if they can live there, then their iman will also be protected. So we have five kahf. And we should try to attach ourselves with one of these kahf. As many as we can, so that because of the barakah of this kahf, our iman will be saved. So Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hafiz, and Allah in Quran has given us the story of the people of Kahf as a way so that we can learn that what do we need to do in order to preserve our iman, in order to protect and do hifaza of our iman. This is the lesson of the story, that we have to, just like Ashabi Kahf attached themselves with the cave at that time, they went inside the cave. So, oh people of iman, you also have to attach yourself to the cave, but your caves are different. And you have to attach yourself to one of these five caves. And if you do so, then you will be able to leave this world with the iman intact. You will be able to save your itself from the fitnas of Dajjal. Now, practically, how can a person, we'll mention a few other things, how can a person get the hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in one hadith, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam riding on an animal, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to me and said that, oh boy, let me teach you a few kalimat. And the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me was, ihfazillah, that do hifazat of Allah. Yani, think about Allah, remember Allah, do hifazat of the commandments of Allah, yahfazka, and Allah will do hifazat of you. This is an usuli principle that Allah Ta'ala is, that the Prophet has given us, that if we do hifazat of the commands of Allah, if we preserve the commandments of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to preserve us. Allah Ta'ala is going to protect us against our enemies. Allah Ta'ala is going to protect our iman. Allah is going to protect our wealth. Allah Ta'ala is going to protect our izzah, our honor. All those things which are valuable to us, all the blessings that we have, Allah will do hifazat. And the way Allah will do hifazat is that if we preserve, if we do hifazat of the commandments of Allah, it's the same thing that we have been seeing in other names of in the other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do hifazah of Allah's commandments, Allah will also preserve you. So this means that we should do hifazah of all the commandments of Allah. So we should protect our salah, be careful about our salah. Allah says, "Hafizu ala salawati wa salatil wusta." Preserve your salah and your middle salah, which is the asr salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. That success is for the believers who preserve, who do hifazah of their salah. So we should be careful. We should preserve our salah. Then number two, we should preserve our zakat. We should preserve our mal through this act of zakat. This is also something that we have to remember, that when some people ask that how can I protect my wealth, we should have yakin that Allah Ta'ala has promised that whenever a person gives zakat, zakat does two things. Zakat will purify your wealth, and zakat will preserve your wealth. Zakat will protect the wealth that you have. This is attached with zakat. Yakin, we should have this yakin in our heart that Allah Ta'ala will do hifazat of our wealth if we give zakat of that wealth. In Hadith-e Pak, the Prophet ﷺ said that that individual who regularly, conscientiously gives zakat of his wealth, very carefully, diligently, he gives zakat of his wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do hifazat of his wealth. His wealth will come under the protection of Allah Ta'ala. And hence, no one will be able to waste his wealth away. We understand sometimes quickly when we have a story. In very, very famous madrasa in India, Dalum Dioband, he was a treasurer who was a nawab, and he was a very pious individual, tahajjud guzar, and he had all the money of Dalum madrasa. And the place where he used to keep the money of Darul Uloom in his cupboard, in the same place he also used to keep his own money. And on that cupboard, he had a small lock. So one day, at the time of tahajjud, he woke up and he saw that there is a thief who came in and he's trying to break that lock. And whereas this person, he went to the washroom, he didn't care about what's happening. He went to the washroom, made wudu, came back, started praying nawafil. And that thief, oh lagai, he's trying to break that lock. But he was not able to break that lock until it came time for Fajr Salah. So that treasurer, that scholar from Darul Uloom Deoband, he stood up and he said that, look, you spent the whole night trying to break this lock and still you haven't been able to break it. So the thief, when he heard this, he realized that the person is awake. He became sort of, he panicked, he ran out. After that, the Nawab Sahib, the treasurer, he came to the masjid. And he prayed his salah. And then he met the imam and said to the imam that today something very strange happened. And he then explained that this story, this happened to me at night. Now when the imam of that masjid, he heard that whole story, he said that when you were awake, why didn't you go there and you should have asked the thief to leave. Why did you go and went about doing your own stuff? So when he said this, now the treasury became upset. He said that I have given full zakat of my money, of my wealth. It's not possible that that thief would have been able to break that lock. It's not possible. My wealth had come under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have yakin that when we give zakat on our wealth comes under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And normally whenever you have a robbery or some burglary or some things like this happen, right? It's because we have been lazy about our zakat. We haven't been diligent about our zakat. There was a pious woman worshipper, Rabia Basriya. She was sleeping. A thief came inside, tried to take her cloak. When he was running away, he heard a voice that one friend is sleeping, but the other friend is awake. Allah does hifad. When you have a taluk with Allah, when you preserve the commandments of Allah, then Allah will preserve you. Allah will preserve your wealth. So we should have yakin that if I pay my zakat, then my money, my wealth is coming under the hifadat of Allah Ta'ala. I don't need to be worried about my wealth. So we should do hifaza of our wealth through zakat. We should also do hifaza of our limbs. We should not use our limbs to disobey Allah Ta'ala. Protect our gaze. Protect our eyes. Protect our tongue. Allah says in Quran, Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Allah will ask you about these things. To safeguard our eyes, Allah says that we should protect our eyes. Kullil mu'minina yaguddu min abasarihim. Tell the believing men to protect their gaze. Tell the believing women to protect their gaze. So protection of our gaze, safeguarding our tongue. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever can give me guarantee about two things, I will give guarantee to that person for Jannah. Number one, he guarantees me that what is between his private parts, if he uses that according to the will and the wish of Allah, number one. And number two, he gives me guarantee about his tongue. These two things, you give me guarantee, the Prophet is saying, I will give you guarantee about Jannah. So preserving, safeguarding our tongue, safeguarding our gaze, whoever protects their gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the sweetness of the halawat of iman. So the first practical way to get the hifazat of Allah is that we do hifazat of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second is that there are certain du'as that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that we should make for hifaza. In fact, there are some du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran. And we should remember very easy du'as, but beautiful du'as. One of them is, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. When Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, he was giving his younger son Binyamin over to the brothers. He said that, okay, take him, and then I hand you all over to the hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned this phrase. This is in Surah Yusuf. So the ulama, they say that anytime you
any one of your loved ones are departing, you should recite this. Fallahu khayrun hafiza, that Allah is the best of the protectors. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin, and He is the most merciful of the merciful ones. Another Quranic dua. So this will also be the three words that we have done. Three sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is al-wakil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our mawla. He's our guardian, caretaker. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also our nasir, our helper, protector. So if we want to make anyone our wali, our mawla, we should make Allah our mawla. If we want to make anyone our wakil, we should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our wakil. If you want to make someone our helper, protector, we should make Nasir Allah ta'ala our helper. And then you should be relaxed. You should be relaxed. Why? Because you have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your wakil, your Nasir, and your mawla. And Allah ta'ala is the best of wakil, the best of mawla, and the best of Nasir. Allah says this in Quran Himself. Hasbunallah, that sufficient for me is Allah, wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. So we should memorize this ayat of the Quran. Anytime, any issue, any decision, any difficulty, any test, any trial, we should recite this ayah with the heart. Hasbunallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me, wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is the best of wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Subhanallah, look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. This is actually now the summary, the nachod of the three names that we have done. Mawla, Wakil, and Nasir. And this is the line that, this is the dua that we have to remember. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah is saying to us in this ayah that, oh my servants, that your guardian, your mawla is the best. I'm your mawla. Your wakil is the best, I'm your wakil. And your helper is the best, I'm your helper. Now why are you worried in the dunya? Just do amal on my commandments. I will take care of everything. I'll become your caretaker, your guardian, your helper, your assistant. Similarly, there are also some du'as of Hifaza mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah. The Prophet ﷺ said that if a person recites this dua three times in the morning and three times in the evening, then that person will be saved from any harmful animal or insect. And that dua is, A'uzu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. A'uzu bi kalimati Allahi, that I seek refuge with the complete names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min sharri ma khalaq, from all the shar that has been created. So we should try to make wird of this dua also. Second is to recite Ayat al-Kursi after every salah. That is also a dua for hifaza. Now, before I end, I want to give you two more du'as. And these are du'as we have heard from our own mashayikh and ulama. Today, a lot of people, they ask that, is there any wazifa about that can give us protection against people? Sometimes a person is in such a situation that you're fearful of other people. At the airports, you have to stand in a line. Police, check-in, custom officers. So there is an ayat of the Quran in Surah Yasin that if you remember this ayah, and in any time when you feel some threat from any person, from any makhluk, any fear, any danger, whether it's airport, at the police, when the car stops, custom officers, any such situation like that, right? And sometimes, especially for believers, it's getting very difficult. At the airport, they stop you. At this, you know, place, they stop you. At that place, they stop you. So there has to be something for us that can do our hifazat. Some words of Allah that we can use to protect ourselves in such a situation. So
In Surah Yasin, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. That Allah, we have made a wall in front of them and a wall behind them. And we have put a ghishava, a covering, a veil over their eyes. We have covered their eyes, they can't see. So anytime, whenever you're in any such situation like that, we should recite this and then blow at that person. And subhanAllah, we have tried this. A lot of our friends have tried this. A lot of people whom we know have tried this. And they come back and they say that subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala saved us from that difficult situation. It becomes as if that person was not even able to see us. He just let us go. The policeman, he stopped our car. He asked us to take out the papers. And we had expired papers, but we recited this ayah and we blew it on that person's face. And he looked at the expired papers and he let us go. Subhanallah. Another person, he said that I was at the airport counter and they were checking my passport. And they said that this is not you. And I said, no, this is me. No, this is not you. This is someone else. I said, this is me. And meanwhile, in my heart, I recited this dua. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And I was continuously reciting this dua in my heart. And I was making dua, Allah, protect me. Allah, do hifaza of me. And after some time, he said that, okay, you can go. And then I took the passport back and I looked at that passport and I saw that this was the passport of my daughter. And he, subhanAllah, he was a man and he had given the passport of his daughter. And ajib, a veil came before that person and let this person go. So this is the first wazifa which a person can use in times when they are fearful of some other person. There is also another wazifa which is about hifazat, accidents. Sometimes, you know, you're riding, you're traveling, and unfortunate accidents can happen. So is there anything that we can recite in such times to protect ourselves from such accidents and unfortunate tragic situations? So this is known as the wazifa for hifaza. Again, very simple, from the Quran, that a person recites durood on the Prophet ﷺ first, then after that Surah Fatiha, then Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha, right? Then the four kul, kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, kul huwallahu ahad, kul a'uzu bi rabbil falak, and kul a'uzu bi rabbin nas. And ends again with durood sharif. So you start and end with durood. You sandwich everything in the middle. First is Surah Fatiha. Then Ayatul Kursi, the verses of the throne. Then the four kul, kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, kul huwallahu ahad, kul a'uzu bi rabbil falak, and kul a'uzu bi rabbin nas. And after reciting this, you just blow upon yourself, upon your wife, upon your children, upon your possession, upon your suitcase, whatever you want to place under the protection of Allah. And you make dua, you make intention that, Ya Allah, I'm placing all of these things in your hifaza, in your protection. And subhanAllah, again, a lot of the people whom we know, they have said that we have used this wazifa. This has become the regular habit, and this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from in many different situations. I don't have time, I'm already out of time. I'll just tell you very briefly that some of our close, you know, people whom we know, they were traveling here in Pakistan. There was a road trip and they were traveling on a bus. At one point, their tire became flat and the wheel came out and the bus, it collapsed. And it really, you know, like a somersault, it went three times. It upturned, you know, once, twice, and thrice. And then it went and fell inside a ditch on the other side of the road. And subhanAllah, every single person on that bus was saved. There was not even a scratch. And people would come and look at that bus and they would think that no one would have survived. It was like a tissue paper. And Allah Ta'ala saved them.
And we asked them, they said that we recited this dua. So anytime we are traveling in our car or any airplane or anywhere, right, we should remember this hifaza, these ayat of the Quran. And inshallah, if you make this, we recite this, if you make this our habit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do our hifaza. Our mashayikh, they have said that this is such a powerful, such a strong way to get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have said, that some of them have said and written also, that if you recite this wazifa and you blow this and you sort of on people who have passed away in a graveyard, then as a result of that, their qabr, that the punishment of their qabr is also lessened. Some people were actually able to see this, that the punishment of the azab that they were experiencing had lessened because of this hifaza. So Allahu Akbar, these are the ayat of Quran, and hifazat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain means, certain ayat, certain ways through which we can come under His protection. And Ayatul Kursi, four kul durood and Surah Fatiha, these are all established things in our sunnah which help a person get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we end by making dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah ta'ala become our al-hafiz, may Allah ta'ala protect and preserve our iman, may Allah ta'ala protect and preserve our health, our wealth, may Allah ta'ala save us from all our enemies, may Allah ta'ala protect us and our offsprings and our family members and our descendants until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. We give ourselves up into the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give our protection, the protection of our iman and the protection of Allah. We give our health, our wealth, all the ni'mat that we have, we are giving, we are handing over all those things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best. We say what Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that we hand over all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our niyat tonight. That is our irada tonight. That is our dua in our heart. And we say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإبادك الصالحون. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.